Welcome to the Florida Grown Femme Podcast,
where best friends Janet and Sage cover everything from sex to Starbucks.
Grab a coffee and join.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm Janet.
And I'm Sage.
And welcome to Florida Grown Femmes. We're back!
What? We're back!
We're back! Hope you enjoy. Hope you missed us, guys.
Surprise!
Surprise! We missed you guys, and we just had to come back. To be honest, like, we told you that, like, it was a little open-ended, and it was a Michael Jordan retirement. Turns out it was a shorter retirement than we were even expecting. Not even a full season. We were like, fuck it. We got to come back. Like, the world.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Our Michael Jordan retirement has ended and we're back. We have things to say, you know, we just couldn't help ourselves. So if you've been listening to us for a while, hi. If you're a new listener, hey, like, welcome. We're the Florida Grown Femmes. We got things to say. Sage and I have been best friends for over 15 years. If you're new to this podcast, we're best friends, we're soulmates. And yeah, we like to talk about things that are on our minds. Sometimes it has something to do with Christianity. Sometimes it has something to do with pop culture, like Hello, Handmaid's Tale and Britney Spears. But anyway, we are the Florida Grown Femmes and we wanted to come back. Sage, I'm rambling. I'm just so excited that we're back. Did you want to say anything now that we're back and welcome back our audience? Yes.
I just want to thank everybody who sent us so much love when we said we were going into retirement, and just so many people reached out and I just felt really loved. I felt really cared for, Janet and I, and we're just happy to be back. And yeah, to be honest, to be really fair,
yes,
somebody came into my DMs and told me that I wasn't a Christian. And I was like, fuck it. Florida Grown Femmes has to come back. I need to say some stuff.
Y'all hear that? Let's go back for a second. Somebody went all up into Sage's DMs and said, girl, you ain't a Christian. Sage. They said that to Sage. Motherfucking Sage. I was about to say Sage Sackett, but Sage still over here. They decided to come at her. Who was you? So
I was like, you know what? If people are going to call me not a Christian, I'm about to get back on the mic. I don't even know what to tell you. I got more to say.
Thank you, person in her DMs, for getting spicy Sage right.
You know, what's so funny is as soon as that happened, I re-went and wrote the script again for this episode. I like immediately was like, da, 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 type with my thumbs.
It's true. I woke up I saw the podcast outline, what had been updated and topics had been updated. And then I saw your text like, hey, I think I want to talk about Florida Grown Femmes coming back. And I was like, I see. And someone was feeling it today. So yes, we're back. You guys fired up Sage and like now we're here and it's awesome. And we're not going anywhere right now. I know that we've been a little bit, when we said we weren't coming back, now we're coming back, but we're here, guys. So stay tuned for more episodes. We are switching up to, we'll always have an episode drop on Mondays, that is staying, but we might be switching up to just every other week dropping an episode, but you'll see, you'll find out. But we're here. Florida Grown Femmes is back and ready to start chatting with you guys. And so if you are familiar with our show, the way that our kind of the structure of our show goes is we always ask a question. You know, it's always an open-ended question to kind of get us going. And you know, this is something like this question, this topic, I think is something like when we started Florida Grown Femmes over a year ago, year and a half ago, this was something you and I both wanted to talk about. It was something that we were both passionate about and something that like, you know, because it's such a sensitive topic, we wanted to make sure it was handled correctly. You know, it was handled delicately, but informatively as well. You know, we have an opinion on this and we wanted to make sure that it was expressed correctly. So before we go too far in, the question of the day is, can Christians be gay? Now, some of you might have just like tightened up a little bit. And some of you are like, yes, what do you got to say? I think there, you know, to before we go too far, I think like one, it is Pride Month. You know, there is a reason that we are dropping this episode in June. There is a reason for that. We wanted to make sure that you, all of our listeners, understood where we stood and we are supportive. Before I go again, Sage, I'm rambling. Do you want to like kind of share why we want it, how we're approaching this topic today and why we decided to do it this way?
Yeah. Again, I just want to repeat what Janet said, that we, just before we even dive into the topic, if you're like listening to this and you're like terrified, Janet and I are, we come from very different backgrounds and we are both now, now meaning me, completely affirming of the whole LGBTQ rainbow. Today, this topic, we are just going to talk about homosexuality. So can Christians be gay? We don't trans that, like, we need a whole nother episode for some of those.
Other things. We're talking about sexuality today. Gender is another discussion.
We're going to go, cause we're going to go like really deep today. And we just want to make sure that, you know, different topics get their own platform. So can Christians be gay today? I just want to say, like, this question to me is so funny because it's like, not only like, it's kind of redundant because it's like, can they be gay? Like, they already are, you know what I mean? Like, they're just, there are gay Christians in the world, period, you know? Yes. So it's not really it's kind of a, you know, a silly question in that sense, you know, but
yeah, it's like Sage and I are aware that like our questions and stuff are like, for us, it's like, duh. But like for other people, it's like clickbait. They're like, is it? You know, like some people, this is like my, like, this is things that like they were told like their entire lives, like one thing. And I think that people get wrapped up in what authority tells them. And sometimes you get afraid to question your own research and you get afraid to like, you know, to disagree with what you feel like authority or this church or all these people have been saying for years and years and years, and you have a different opinion. It's hard to kind of stand up for that. But again, like one of the things that Sage and I talked about, we have different backgrounds. One of the things that I am most thankful for, thank you, Mom and Dad, is that I grew up in the United Church of Christ denomination. UCC is a open and affirming church. And I just wanted to kind of have that definition up for anyone that wasn't aware of what open and affirming meant. I should have had that more up. Open affirming church definition means that is official designation for congregations that are affirming the full inclusion of gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and non-binary persons, LGBTQ, in church's life and ministry. Now, what that means is I grew up with this group, a small group in my church that was LGBTQ friendly. They spoke regularly on the platform. They spoke regularly at the pulpit. They were regularly engaged in our congregation. I didn't know that there was anything quote unquote wrong. I didn't know that there was people that believed that being gay was wrong because it literally wasn't fucking taught to me. I didn't know this. Like, I knew like eventually once I had the perception of news and old enough to understand it, like, you know, what my parents and what my church just explained to me is, so it's like, some people just don't know what we know or aren't as accepting as others. You know, you have to be patient with them. And, you know, we are open and affirming. And so I always, you know, when we went to big, it's called Synod, like our big, you know, denominational meeting, I think happens every 4 years, where everybody from all over comes together to vote on big policies and procedures. Like, it was never a question that, like, about being open and affirming. There were booths for like our LGBTQ like members and stuff, and resources to help other churches understand why UCC was open and affirming. And also, like, I'm big like PR for like UCC. I loved growing up in this denomination. It was something I realize now, like, thank God I had the foundation that I had. But, you know, this is also something that they're not the only church that believes this. There are other denominations that don't get the credit. You know, Episcopalian is friendly. Not all churches are, I believe, is the denomination, but they're friendly towards LGBTQ. Oh, that's what it is. You can be an LGBTQ pastor and still be ordained in the Episcopalian church. But there's also Lutherans and Presbyterian churches that are open and affirming, different denominations. So it's not, maybe the speaker has been with the conservative churches that adamantly believe that homosexuality is wrong, but there's a lot of churches that don't believe that. And so I just wanted to make sure that people understood that, and that there's research and real research available for anybody that has questions and stuff. And Sage and I are going to be talking about a few different things, and we'll be providing a few different resources in our podcast notes, but just had to get that out there that you are not alone. There are denominations, there are resources for you. And so with that being said, Sage, what are the, like, when this question, can Christians be gay? Yes.
Just one second. I wanted to share because, you know, Janet does come from a more an open and affirming background, just like she said. And I come from a background where the pastor literally said from the pulpit one time that God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And just completely, it's wrong there. You know what I mean? So that's like where I'm coming from. And I have definitely needed more of like an evolution of my beliefs. I have needed to, you know, dive deep, like into the text and stuff. Not just to like confirm my belief, but actually to change them because I didn't grow up that way. I forgot to mention, Janet, I'm sorry, at the beginning of the episode that we wanted to invite guests on who are in the LGBTQ plus community. It hasn't worked out. And then we thought maybe it's for a reason. Maybe we should come out here and say like how we feel, show our allyship first and sort of create a safe space for future guests. So we do want to have voices in the LGBTQ community on our podcast. We have tried, it didn't work out. So that
like people's schedules just haven't worked out and stuff. Yeah. Like people's schedules.
Right. Scheduling. I mean, it's hard because I live, you know, I'm abroad. So it's kind of hard with scheduling, but
right. So our scheduling hasn't worked out. It's not that we didn't want someone, but we also wanted to make sure that we set ourselves up and our guests to be in a safe environment. Yeah. And this is a topic that people are already in Sage's DMs and she hasn't even done an episode. We haven't even dropped this episode and they're already in Sage's DMs like, hey, you're not a Christian. So we don't want to subject people to that because that's not fair. You know, like Sage and I have put ourselves out there, like we're aware of our voices and what our opinions can do and stuff. And we're prepared for that. But, you know, we want to make sure it's a safe, like for other people and stuff in our community, we want to make sure that we're providing an environment, a safe environment for them. And so that they're aware of what our community and our listeners are. And now, again, we know our listeners, our real Florida Grown Fem listeners are amazing. You guys are supportive and we know that you're loving and kind. So we don't want to knock you guys. Like, let's get real here. This is about like this one me all up in Sage's DM saying like, how dare you? So this is about the audacity of this one person. This anonymous.
We're not anyway, worried about this person.
We're not worried, but sorry, Sage, got lost on that little sidetrack. But yeah, so we want to just make sure that we were providing a safe environment for our future guests.
Yes.
Awesome.
Deep breath. Okay. Janet, what the frick does the Bible say about homosexuality anyways?
Yeah. You know, I think that's the thing that people like when this question gets asked or like, you know, the topic gets up, I think people immediately like, well, the Bible says this, you know, is the first thing that conservative Christians say. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, again, I think one thing that Sage and I have always said, and I've always like really, really preached and stuff from this or preached or whatever, like from this podcast is read the Bible for yourself, like read it for yourself. Do your own research because this is what sent me on a rabbit trail because I grew up in UCC, but then I graduated from in this like Pentecostal university where I was told in my ethics class that like, it wasn't that gay was being wrong necessarily, but like, you know, sexuality was a choice. So you were choosing to do wrong in that. And it was hard for me to like, didn't quite have all the understanding yet. And I was like, okay. And so I would always get to these verses and I would hate when they would say like, you know, Leviticus, I think is the one that's most like used. I think when people come up and say like, if a man has sexual relations with a man, it's like detestable or things like that. But one of the things
Leviticus 20, in case you're wondering.
Yeah. There's Leviticus 18, 22 and Leviticus 2013 are the ones that are often brought up. But the thing that I think is going to be kind of a mic drop moment for, I hope, our audience is that, you know, homosexuality, homosexual that word didn't show up in the Bible until 1946. So all other biblical translations didn't have the word homosexual. Okay. So what did, I think that then goes to the question, what word was there? And so there have been different, you know, you have to go back to the original text. You know, for those who may not are, who may not be aware, the original text was in Greek and Hebrew, right, Sage? That's right. Or it was originally in Greek. And then, so, and then it's been
the Old Testament.
Right.
The New Testament was in Greek.
Thank you. That's what it was. And so, you know, from there, it's then been translated to many different languages across the world. And so what I was, there was one day where I was reading, I think it was Leviticus, or I think there's another one in Corinthians where I finally just one day, I remember even texting you, Sage, where I was like, I just did some crazy research where I went all the way back to like King James, where I'm like, the word isn't homosexual, it's pedophile. And you were like, that's great. That's cool. Like, and you're like, I was like, Sage, this changes everything. And like, you're like, hey, yeah, I guess, like, sure. And I was like, but I think that's something like, so one thing that I was doing in preparation for this, this episode was doing some research, and I loved what, there's this article that I found from a theologian or a Talbot School of Theology graduate has a book that's coming out that is how the Bible has been weaponized against the LGBTQ community. And he talked about, you know, obviously these biblical translations and stuff. And so what he started doing was, as kind of a hobby, what originally started off as a hobby, is he started collecting really old Bibles, like the ones that anything that he could get his hands on, like the old, like German ones from the 1800s, some old, like wherever he could find, the older, the better. And so at one point he knew this, he had this theory and stuff. He was already something that he was working on. And he asked a friend, he had a book, a German Bible from the 1800s. And he asked his German friend to translate it word for word. And in the English, where it says, man shall not lie with man, for it is an abomination, the German version says, man shall not lie with young boys as he does with a woman, for it is an abomination. And it goes on and to Leviticus 20:13, same thing, young boys. So then it went to 1 Corinthians and translated the original Greek word, instead of for homosexuals, it was boy molesters will not inherit the kingdom of God. So it was, you know, there's a campaign, like there's research that more goes into why. So then if all of this up until 1946 was saying pedophiles, how did that change? That's a whole nother topic. But right now there was a campaign to change it. Like that, that's just know that in 1946, that started showing up. It showed up in America, in the American translation, and then Europeans Bible translation started getting pressure, and American printing companies started taking over for English Bible printers. And so American Bibles with this new translation started sweeping the world. Anyway, so just a whole little thing there, a little history on this. So old Bibles, also people, you know, families, their one treasured possession on earth was the family Bible. So Bibles from like 1800s, 1900s, there are only so many few Bibles that were existed back then because printing was difficult. So it's hard to keep these materials after 1946 and stuff. There was a whole thing to get Bibles out there in the hands of people.
Right.
So anyway, the point is, if you do your research, if you actually go back to these translations, Leviticus, Corinthians, Timothy, all of these verses that say homosexuality is wrong, replace the word homosexual with the word pedophile. And that changes the motherfucking game.
Yeah. And I want to talk to just the cultural history of that. So, you know, cause it is kind of like, well, homosexual, pedophile, like, okay.
I literally heard that. What's the difference once? I heard that.
Oh my God. What? What? Okay. We don't have time to get into that, but I can't believe somebody said that to you. I'm like,
well, like that's the thing though, where it was like, well, what's the difference between a man, like, you know, people being like man lying with man and man lying. I was like, there's a big difference between a 55-year-old man lying with a 6-year-old and two grown ass consenting men lying in a bed. Like,
yeah,
gross, you know, like pedophile, like there's a big difference. And I think people are like, oh, like, you know, we're thinking of it like, oh, man and man, like 18, you know, whatever. I don't know. But yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. I just wanted to say that like culturally in that time too, when the Bible was written, mm-hmm. so the boys were educated, right? Mm-hmm. And they basically would choose like a mentor or a teacher mm-hmm. to teach them the Torah.
Yeah. And, princess. Kind of stuff.
And what would happen is like they would choose a mentor and in favor of getting taught, they would give sexual favors basically. And I don't even think that it was, it was just like cold cut culture. You know what I mean? And so that is really where that verse, that's exactly what that verse is talking about is this phenomenon of these types of relationships where the mentor was sleeping with, you know, a young child. So
that was wrong.
Again, I think people don't want to talk about
pedophilia at a cultural level. Like that's just uncomfortable, but people need mm-hmm. to understand, you know, there's a reason that there's true crime specials out there because we know that human trafficking, child sexual human trafficking is a thing. As much as we want to ignore it, it has been systemic in cultures for a really long time.
Yeah.
And just because you're not aware of it doesn't mean that it hasn't been happening. It is bad. Like Sage knows firsthand.
Yeah. And it makes it just, if you're looking at this from a cultural lens, those verses make a lot more sense if you understand the culture and the history of the people of those times.
Yes, because that's Sage makes so much
that's
sense.
What was happening. You know,
great
that's
point,
what was happening.
Great point. Great and, point.
You know, I don't think any of our listeners would say, you know, that pedophilia is right, you know, or anything like that. But that is also a huge difference to claim that these huge, like detestable, they're not gaining the kingdom of heaven, all these things against gay people when it was actually meant for, you know, pedophiles who are causing harm.
Yeah.
And, you know, this Janet, you also mentioned another thing about people doing their own, like read the Bible, do your own research. And I just want to say, you know, for those people like me who maybe had been reading the Bible for a long time, but not doing the research part, mm-hmm. like it's okay if you've been wrestling with this or not sure what to think, because if you just read your Bible, that's what it says, you know, and without the research, without the cultural understanding, without the understanding of the language of the words, you would think that, you know, and I'm not making excuses for the people like,
no, say, I think you bring up
who
a
thought
very
it was
big...
wrong for a long time, but I do want to say like, hey, it's okay to have thought this thing. And to come to a new understanding, go, I've gained more knowledge. Oh, this, I was wrong. It's okay to be wrong. And it's okay to move forward and say like, I'm going to change my views or, you know what I mean? Like, cause I was beating myself up for a long time about how I viewed the homosexual community and stuff. And then I look back and I'm like, well, when I was just reading my Bible at face value and listening to my pastor at face value, why would I have thought anything differently? I was living in a vacuum.
Right.
Know? Yeah. So welcome to outside the vacuum. That's what this podcast is. You are outside the vacuum. Welcome to the club.
Oh my God. That's such a good point. And also you're right. I need, you know, I forget that also you and I specifically literally have discipleship training. You and I literally have been taught how to research and how to historically research the Bible.
Yeah.
I didn't get that in my other college classes until I went to Southeastern. You know, I transferred in.
Right.
I didn't know any of this. So that's a very, very, very good point. Because even at Southeastern, when my professors were telling me this, how can I argue with what the Bible says? I didn't know that there was this big, you know, I didn't know about all of these things. And you talked again about the cultural, you know, the Bible at the time when it was written, the letter, like Timothy, and those letters that Timothy, that like they're written to Timothy and stuff, that Paul wrote to Timothy, they were very specific instructions for very specific communities. And we know this because we've seen this other times in that Timothy verse where it says, tells women to be quiet. And like people went, and now we have denominations where women aren't even allowed to like be on the pulpit or say anything or be called ministers, when it was a misinterpretation where people zeroed in. That's one thing to stop zeroing in on one specific verse and look at it as the whole. Like, hello, right. The Bible is a book. You know, it's the greatest book of all time because it has symbolism, allegories, storytelling, plots. Mm-hmm. Like, it is a plot. Like, it has everything. You're not supposed to look at one specific verse and be like, that's the Bible. Like, no, you got to look at the whole picture. But those specific things, we've seen that multiple times, that there's been people have misinterpreted and made it fast. And instead of looking at the bigger lens of what does God say, God says the biggest thing that we can do is to love our people, like ourselves. How can we do that if we're told that homosexuals, this one type of people, are the worst people in the entire world and they're above being saved? What? How does that makes no fucking sense? Like, people, look at what you're saying. It doesn't match up. Like, it is wild.
I want to just spin off of that real quick.
Yes, go, Rick, go.
Because you did hit on something, on a nail right there, when you talked about, you know, the women in the church and like, could they say something? And then it got out of control. And then now all of a sudden women weren't allowed to be pastors and shit. And, you know, when I look at that and I think, thank God there were people, women before me who were in those denominations going, this is bullshit. We want to preach. We want to speak. This is a terrible, you know, the way that you've looked at this verse is wrong. We want to preach. Okay. And when I think of that, and I, as a woman, sit on that and realize that that just propels me to be an ally.
Yes.
Because it's like, no, we will not sit in bad interpretations of scripture just because it's what we were taught forever, just because it's what's comfortable or whatever. No, not for my gay friends, not for my gay Christian friends. Like, they are worth being, you know, being an ally for.
Yes.
And because someone already did that for me. Somebody roads before me was already a freaking feminist, brought me to this spot, you know, and now I'm like reading, doing my own research. Oh crap. It's chill to be gay. Okay, come on, gay people, let's go, you know?
I'm gonna rise up. You're
safe. And it's good. Like, your beliefs being gray or being moldable, being able to think something differently. This is not something we should be afraid of.
Yes.
This is something we should be excited about and embrace, you know? And there's just so much fear about, will I upset God if I think this, or am I going to hell if I think this or something? And it's like, dude, we should not be living in fear. We should not. If your faith is fear-based, you need to do a recheck. You need a recheck.
I love that. I love that.
Oh, yeah.
So good, Sage. Yeah, I'm inspired now. Like, yeah, exactly. Like, one of the things that Sage and I were talking about is that good people need to stand up. We can't get anywhere. We can't make progress until other people say, no, we want better. And you're right, Sage. Women, ladies, what Sage just said, we had trailblazing women have to go before us. There are still women that aren't allowed on stages right now.
Yeah.
There are still women that are told that you are not allowed to be a minister. You are not allowed to pastor. And that is motherfucking bullshit. You know, it is not the majority anymore, but at one time it was. And we have to stand up and fight for others because they fought for us before. Yeah. It's the right thing to do. That's love in action.
Yeah.
I know some of you have never had to feel the need to stand up for another, have never had to protest out a building for another. But let me tell you something. Jesus motherfucking flipped tables to prove a point.
He sure did.
Sometimes you have to get angry. Sometimes you have to raise your voice. And I'm not saying everybody is called to flip tables, but you all are called. Every single one of us, every single one of us is called to be able to talk to another, our friend, our sister, our mother, our brother, our best friend, and say, hey, I kind of think this. Like, what do you think? I just found this out. Yeah. And it's okay. Like, rest in the fact that you are not alone.
I did not have a choice to be born a woman, although I'm very comfortable and happy about it. I did not, you know, choose that. And I know that my gay friends are born the way they are and they don't choose that. And neither one of us should be held back from preaching in the church, singing. Oh my God, singing on the worship team. This is the one I don't fuck this.
Okay, I'm gonna get gays on stage. Oh my God.
Can I get really real? Can I get really, really real with you? Yeah. I left a church because they wouldn't let women in prostitution or gay people on the worship team. And it didn't like, even then, even when I didn't have the research and the words and it didn't make any sense to me. You know, now that I have the research, I'm just like pissed about it, you know, but let me just tell you something. Okay. Because people all are up in my DMs. Okay. And let me just tell you something. I am an ally. I am an affirming ally. This is the cross I am happy to bear for my Christian friends. And you may say, well, I don't have any gay people at my church. I don't have any gay people in my circle. And I'm going to challenge you and tell you, statistically speaking, yes, you fucking do. And they may be afraid to tell you. They may be hiding. I guarantee you they are there. I know because they're in my DMs. They are there. Some of them are afraid to say it because of the consequences. Maybe they're going to get kicked off of leadership. Maybe they're going to lose their job, you know? And these are very real fears. And for them, the consequences are huge.
Yeah.
For us, it's my pride. For me, it's my reputation. I did lose my job because of this, but it was a huge reputation thing. I have people telling me like, Sage, you're so courageous. I'm like, no, this is just, I am not courageous. I'm straight.
This is the minimum that we're supposed to call.
They let women preach at the churches now. Okay. I'm straight. I'm good. You know, I'm like, this is courageous.
2022.
For my trans friends, for my bi friends in the church, you know, like they are courageous when they come out and are open and take whatever consequences may come from being their honest selves. And I just, yeah. So I just want to say, like, also just getting very real, you know, I know that there are also people listening to this podcast who may be on staff at a church or in a position of leadership in some way or another. And I know that coming out as affirming, coming out as an ally, not even gay. Yeah. I know coming out as an ally can cost you your job. It cost me mine. I know that there is a cost to that. And for me, it was worth it.
Yeah.
When I look into the eyes of my gay friends, when I, you know, when we talk, like it was worth it, you know? Yeah. And so I just want to say, like, I know that it's not without a cost. But for me, I have to say, like, it was worth it.
I love that. There's the moment I think, you know, Sage, I get very justice centered. I get really like that is something that like when I can't help but stand up for somebody when I feel like somebody's feeling bullied, I am the person that does that. And these moments, like, you know, I love this quote from the Hamilton musical, like, if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything.
Yeah.
And we're in that moment, I think, not only just in our church, but historically speaking, you know, we're in a political climate where it is probably never been a more scary time to be opinionated. But that's why you have to be like, that's why, because you can't allow these negative, these voices that don't represent the truth, like, take over. They can't be the majority just because they have the soapbox, like just because they have the mic right now doesn't mean that it's actually all of us, you know, like historic, like we need to like stay as a, like, I know not everyone is American that's listening and stuff, but for those that are in these situations, this is going to be a cultural thing. We need to stand up. Like, that's just at the end of the day, we need to stand up for our LGBTQ sisters and brothers and be there and link and arms.
Non-binary friends.
And non-binary. And like, we need to link arms and be there and stand up for our friends, because trust me, like, they want to go to church. They want to, but they don't feel safe. Yeah. And just because your church is not going to call them out, like, if they can't like openly say that they're gay and this is my boyfriend in your congregation, it's not a safe place.
Yeah.
If someone would come up to them and be like, I'll pray for you, or maybe you should get some counseling, it's not a safe place.
Yeah.
And like, if you invite your friend, gay friend or LGBTQ friend to church, make sure it is a safe place for them. Yeah. Like, that is it breaks my heart when I hear my gay friend gets invited to a church play. He gets invited to be in the church plays, but like straight up told that they don't like agree with his lifestyle, but they bring him in because he can fucking act.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, yeah, like that kind of stuff is damaging. Like, and what you said too, Sage, I didn't even think about, like, yeah, there's real consequences right now. Like
there are,
like, LGBTQ people literally can't even be on worship teams right now. And those are like, and that's for like the churches that aren't even like conservative. Those are the mainstream ones.
Yeah.
Like, you know, around here we have Bayside Community Church that has 9 locations, thousands of people.
Yeah.
Probably one of the biggest influencers in the city. And if you're gay and they find out, like, you can't be on the worship team, you can't lead staff. Like, you know, your lifestyle doesn't match. Like, I know people even down here who are like, I can just go off on this. And like, so for those like that are listening and stuff, like, if you're shocked to find out, like me, like when I was in my 20s, like, wait, there are people that think this, that is this wrong. Like, I mean, it's not like, you're probably not surprised now. I mean, like with all these things, like our LGBTQ friends are under attack with like, don't say gay and all these things that are happening, laws and stuff. Like, we need to be, you know, courageous and stand up for our friends and be there. You know, I think that honestly, you know, what the Bible says, I think we covered it. For people who don't, you know, like, I don't know what to tell you if you don't believe in our research on the translations, that to me changes the game for everything. Like switching out the word homosexual for pedophile changes the context of everything for me. And so there might be some people who don't agree. I'm like, you know, people don't believe in facts anymore. That's also true.
Let me just, let me just add one thing to that, because, you know, I do think it should be enough. I think it should be enough, but let's say it's not enough. Okay. I just want to raise one question before we close out. And that is, like, you know, I know that there are some people who read the Bible and it, for them, it is like the ultimate encompassing book that everything you need in your life, you can find there. Okay. I know that there are people with that belief. That's not mine anymore. And for me, the reason why mine changed was sex ethics, because there are things in the Bible, like, you know, homosexuality was one of them, but there are things in the Bible where I have to say, like, no, you know what I mean? Like, the way some of the stances on rape and other things.
Yeah. There's
like,
some sexual fucking violence towards women that we're just using.
You know, like, there's just some things in there that I'm going, I don't know about that, you know? And so for me, when people so cling to one thing, like, oh, but the Bible says that people can't be gay, you know? And it's like, well, it also said, like, that you, if a woman slept with someone, that they should get stoned in front of their father's house. Do we still want to do that? I don't want to do that. Yeah. You know? And so for me, like, I just want to say, be careful with how we hold up the Bible as a book for sex ethics.
Yeah. For me, don't pick and choose. Like, don't pick and choose that this is the one that you follow to a T, but the other one's about pork and cutting your hair. You're like,
okay, but like, if you go with like the other sex ethics of the Bible, then we're like, we're in Handmaid's Tale again. Okay, we don't want that. Okay?
Also, we're so back to a million different wives.
Just be careful with that. And I would say, like, for me, like, okay, Sage, like, what drives you now then, if you don't necessarily, you're not like good with everything the Bible says about sex ethics? For me, I go to what I learned in psychology, which is do no harm. That is my, you know, all reaching sex ethic. And that is why, to me, pedophile is still off the table, because that is doing harm to children, you know? Yeah. And stoning a woman for having sex obviously is doing harm, you know? So it's kind of like, I think we just need to shine a little flashlight on that and just say, like, hey, you know, you can't pick and choose what you like, which sex ethic in the Bible or sex morals you decide is good and not good, just because the times have changed, you know? Yeah. Or you decide, hey, times are changing, they may continue to change, I'm going to take my sex ethics away, you know? And not about everything, you know, but just in general about that kind of stuff. So
I see your point with what you're saying, and I think that makes sense and stuff. It's like, I mean, I believe that the Bible is like, can be used for everything, but I also, like, again, it can be used for everything because there are different stories, different lessons. You have to take the greater message out of whole and apply it to the particular thing. Like, that for me, I think that's where I get people get so verse heavy or be like, they pick and choose what, like, yeah, on certain things when I'm like, we're not supposed to. That's not like, yeah, we're not supposed to do that.
That's good, Janet. I don't think people hear that enough, that you're like, that it's not a pick and choose kind of thing. Cause a lot of us grew up in a system where it was just black or white.
Yeah.
You either can be gay or you cannot be gay. There is no in between. You know what I mean? And you, I feel like you didn't have more of a background of like, okay, let's think about it. Or, you know what I mean? Or just a little, it was a little bit more gray. It was a little bit more open, but so many people, ex-fundies and stuff, they didn't come from that background, you know? Yeah. And so for people like me coming out of that, it's like the idea that the Bible could be gray and not just black or white is actually a huge revelation.
Yeah.
You know, for people coming from a fundamentalist background or super, super conservative. So just tread lightly, you know, please don't stone any women. We love gay people. I don't know what else to say.
No, I think honestly, I'm like, we kind of like, to be honest, like, we kind of hit our point. I was like, yeah, I think we hit our points because honestly, I'm like, yeah, I don't, what do you, like, what else do you have for us? Like, we just hit our points. Like, what else do you need? Like, that's it. And like, again, like what Sage is saying and like what we're saying is like, we're not saying you need to go up to your church pastor today and be like, listen to this Florida Grown Fem episode. What I learned, like, we got to be open enough. Like, whoa. Listen, like, we're saying, do your research. One, period. You need to, one, like, you need to discover this for yourself. Education is important, period, blank. But that's important. One, do your own research. Read it for yourself. Feel like what you feel like. God, like, read it. Yeah. Really understand and try to, like, understand how it changes the context of the verses and what you know. And really sink in that. It's okay for this to process and marinate. And then you can start looking at our podcast resources that we have in the notes where like we found like a lot of this research or my UCC denomination, like they have tools and resources for other churches and how like they became open and affirming. Like this is just a baby step for like we know for a lot of people. And for some of you, we hope it's empowering. For those who are like, yes, like I have so many gay friends, but I don't know what to do. Like rest in the fact that like, you know, I've just have told some of my gay friends like, hey, I hope, do you know that I love you? And I don't think actually my faith tells me that it's wrong. Like, I hope you know that, like, like I just have said that to some of my gay friends who I have been like, I've known them for 15 years. And I'm like, you know that, right? Because you know, I'm a Christian, you know, that I'm not, this isn't bullshit for me. Right. And like, that was something where, you know, my friend was really, he was like, I knew that, but like, it was nice. He was like, it's nice to know that you believe that based on like your faith. Like you believe that because of your Bible or whatever, you know, because he's only been told like he grew up in a Christian household where he was told not to be gay, you know, like it was wrong. It was a sin and like all this stuff. So like, you know, I get that like most people haven't heard what I've heard or learned what I learned. And then also, I mean, I just discovered this research now, you know, I just learned it was right to love people. Like that was what I learned growing up that like,
which is good, which is a safe place to be.
Like love is love. Like, you know, like I don't believe that like God, like some love is different than other. When someone is in love, that's love. That's ordained by God. The God doesn't accidentally send somebody some like love. Like I think it's ordained. So there's that. So
tips for being an ally, Janet hit the first one on the head. Do your own research first. And second, I just want to say like, if you take, you know, something away from this episode is just also just be aware that there may be gay people around you or in your church, and they may not be saying that. And so listen now, also now that we've talked about this, listen to the conversations that people are having in church about being gay.
Yeah.
And imagine that somebody who's overhearing that is gay.
Yeah.
Okay. And just observe, just let it sink in, you know, and just listen with different ears about how people talk in the church about being gay and stuff. And remember that there are definitely have gay friends, even though you feel like you don't, or they haven't made it public yet. Like that's their own business, you know, but, they are there. They're in our DMs and they're there. They're in your churches and God loves them and he made them just the way they are and they're perfect.
Yeah. I love that. I feel like that's like the great way to end the, like in that episode, like God loves all his children. So that is, if you enjoyed this episode one, please subscribe to our channel if you have not already done that. And if you love this episode, please share it to your social media and tag us so we see it. And we, or, you know, as always, we know you guys are in our DMs and we love hearing from you guys. We love hearing that you guys are, you don't feel alone. We love that we can empower you guys. And we just also want to empower you that like, thanks for being in our DMs, but you also can, if you can, you are brave, like you have the power to also share with your friends how you are feeling. Like you are not alone. Feel empowered that it's okay. Like you have the tools and resources to speak up, but we love having you in our DMs. Please keep sharing our stuff and let everybody know that we're back, guys. We're back.
Oh, we're back.
We're back.
Look out.
We're back. So until then, I'm Janet.
And I'm Sage.
And we're the Florida Grown Femmes.
Yeah.